Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 877-44-TRUTH or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, I'm going to fly without a net today. So you're going to get some pretty raw reaction to something I just experienced. And I feel compelled to, I'll spend the whole hour, if I can, and I think I probably can, reacting to what I just experienced. I was planning on coming into the studio a little earlier today. And I have plenty of other things I have to do. And I'm a pretty busy person and a lot going on besides the fact of being a husband and a father of four. I was on the way up. I'm up here at a studio at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary outside of the Raleigh, Durham area. And, I was on my way up here and just decided, you know, I've been thinking, why aren't we hearing more about the 13 Hours movie? What about Benghazi? What? Oh, I was expecting that to really get a lot of traction. Of course, Star Wars was part of the problem. Christmas is part of the problem. The political nightmare that is Benghazi, part of the problem, and it hasn't really done very well at the box office, and that's really bugged me. So today, driving up here to the studio, I decided I looked it up on my phone. I decided I'm going to go in and see it. So I stopped on my way here, and I went, and I spent over 2 hours just being. I mean, it's enraging, it's heartbreaking, it's disgusting. It was eliciting so much rage in me, and I haven't really experienced that in a movie setting before, where I got so pulled into the story, and knowing and having been watching this for the last 3.5 years. It was September 11th of 2012, and all the stuff around it, and all the politicizing of it, and the back and the forth, and Clinton and Obama and. And the whole Islamic issue. And so I really didn't. I mean, obviously, the previews and the trailers and all that stuff, they make every movie look great. But this one, I just felt compelled. Like I had a duty to go see it. I love the United States of America. I love this country. I feel incredibly blessed. I'm sure most of you do. But I don't worship the United States of America like I used to. And because it can be such a heartbreaking topic, can't it? This country of ours, as we talk about whether it's military or economic or purely political or the culture, whatever. I mean, to talk about the United States of America now is really difficult because it tugs you in a lot of different directions. So I decided I would just go see it because I felt I had the obligation to do it. And not only as an American, but also as a Christian. To understand what it is that other people go through to supposedly, allegedly, at least this is the story, to fight for our freedom around the world, right? And so I there was all kinds of emotions going through. I said, I'm going to go see it. So you got Ambassador Christopher Stevens, who's dead. Sean Smith is dead. Glenn Doherty is dead. Tyrone Woods dead in Benghazi, September 11th and 12th. Of 2012, and seriously, I mean, I was just enraged, and I went through a number of different reactions to it, and then I've been listening to an interview Brett Baer of Fox News has done with three of the private security guys. These are all ex-military, ex-U.S. military guys that had gone back into their kind of the regular world, an insurance adjuster and a heating and air conditioning guy. And then, you know, it's incredibly lucrative for them to be able to go back. A company like Blackwater, which was here in North Carolina, a private security. And so these guys were back in Benghazi, and some of them had only been there for 30 days, 45 days, basically a 60-day deployment, and had wives and children to go back to. And they're just trying to make money and provide for their families. And these are warrior-type people. These are not garden variety, average, ordinary American citizens, the people that joined the military in the first place, and an all-volunteer army, that's hard for me to understand that mindset. I mean, I worked hard and got accepted to the Air Force Academy, but I didn't go. I didn't follow through. These people, whether they're special forces or just some guy or gal on a flight line moving hoses around, these people volunteered. They go. And say what you will, but it's ever since 9/11. I mean, you sign up for the military, and there's a very real possibility you're going to see live fire action somewhere around the world, and now at the hands of people, Muslim, quote-unquote, extremists. I call them fundamental good Muslims. Read the book, Follow the Man, and there's a very good chance you're going to get in the muck at some point. And they do it anyway. And so here are these private contractors, security people, there to protect the CIA. So I'll unfold this story as much for you as I can. And let me just start by apologizing. I get so sick of the political realm, even though I talk about it a lot. But I get, don't you sometimes? I just get so sick of it that I don't. And Benghazi from the start was just another disgusting display of the ineptitude of a bloated, bureaucratic, self-centered, detached federal government. And when you get a government that's like that, people die. They die on the field of battle, and they die in an abortion clinic. And when this thing gets the way it is, the federal government and the bureaucracy and the overstepping of all bounds constitutionally that our founding fathers set up, it costs you blood and lives. And it has over and over and over again. And when we used to think that was such a pure, honorable, noble thing, didn't we? World War I, World War II, Vietnam, okay, now it's getting a little nutty, and Korea, and Gulf War I, and then, of course, going back, and Afghanistan felt righteous, right? That's where al-Qaeda came from, that's where they trained, that's where they gathered, that's where they organized, and when we hit Afghanistan after 9/11, that felt like the government bearing the sword according to the word of God. Iraq, I don't know how Iraq felt to you, but to me, it felt like overreach. It felt like nation building. And when you watch a movie like 13 Hours, and when you pay as much attention to what's going on in the Middle East as, well, some people do, and I do, you start to realize, you know, with the fundamental Muslims there, the only thing that can rule over them is a bigger animal. And you remove those animals, and you see the results. Some more about 13 Hours. And I got some articles and some clips to play. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Ambassador Christopher Stevens, Sean Smith, Glenn Doherty, and Tyrone Woods all died in Benghazi in September of 2012, and the movie 13 Hours shows you behind the scenes, based on the people that were there, what happened, and where was the video? Nowhere. The video, it wasn't about the video. And there's so much to talk about in this story, and again, I apologize. I have not covered Benghazi much in the last 4 years, 3.5 years, and I was wrong to do that, because there's so much here. There's things on the positive side, okay? I want to make sure that I honor the men and women of our military and people in the CIA, anybody that's serving in harm's way to quote-unquote advance the cause of the United States of America, both here and abroad. They're heroes really going into it. Now, differing degrees of heroes, absolutely. But heroes nevertheless, who will take a job that doesn't pay much and then put themselves in harm's way for what? For Obama? For Hillary? No. It's for an ideal. It's for an ideal that is the American ideal, the American experiment, this thought of freedom and liberty. And this other thought that there's some country on this planet that has some kind of a good moral compass. And so they fight and they die, and they're heroes. Absolutely. in this movie, once again, I mean, American Sniper, different movies that I've seen, different things that you've experienced, different men that I've met. I haven't talked to any women yet that have served in the military, but they're out there. And, but the men that I've talked to, and you're just talking to a different type of person, especially if they've seen combat. You're just dealing with a different kind of human being. And we run around, and I run around and live my life pretty much any stinking way I want. And they're out there on the wall, on the line, and then in Benghazi for what? I mean, you get rid of Muammar Gaddafi, you get rid of Gaddafi in Libya, and you take a monster out, and it's only a monster that can control this brutal side of Islam. It's only a monster that can control it, like Assad, like Gaddafi, like Hussein. It's only a monster that can keep people down like that. It's the biggest sword versus the smaller sword. It is what it is. So as I watched 13 hours, and again, the movie reviewers, the media elite, they're not pointing anybody towards this movie. They're not going to talk about it. This is an article from the American Thinker that just came out yesterday by Jack Cashel. The more naive members of the Hillary Clinton campaign have long dreaded the release of Michael Bay's factual account of the Benghazi attack, 13 hours. The more sophisticated members of that campaign were less worried. They were confident their friends in the media would scare off all but the most deluded teabaggers. Well, they didn't scare me off, but I almost missed it of my own volition. I almost missed it of my own irresponsibility as an American citizen who enjoys the freedoms that were purchased by men and women over the last couple hundred of years. And any time men and women in service to this country give their lives, we need to stop and pay attention to that. We need to honor them. We need to look reflectively at our own lives and what we're doing with our freedom in this nation. And we need to pay attention, and we need to be serious about it. And we need to pray, and we need to bring the gospel, because the gospel is the ultimate answer. You see it in so many of these movies as these men and women in conflict struggle with the big issues of life. Man, they're struggling with really serious questions because they know, unlike most of us, they know that at any moment their lives could be over. And then what? So here's from this article in the American Thinker. In fact, the news media, let alone the entertainment media, have shown no interest in a conversation about Benghazi, meaningful or otherwise. They have labored mightily for the last 3+ years to keep Benghazi out of the news. Had Bay explored, Michael Bay, the director, explored the lies about an impending genocide that paved the way to our subversion of the Gaddafi regime or the arms trafficking in which the CIA was engaged after Gaddafi's murder, he would have needed a miniseries. Instead, Bay confined himself to the 13 hours of genuine tragedy. Dargis, a reviewer of the New York Times, missed the tragedy part of the story. Born and raised in Manhattan, Dargis opened her review by suggesting that 13 hours was little more than a protracted advertisement for a Mercedes-Benz SUV. That just infuriates me. Was it a product placement, ma'am? Sure it was. They have to pay for the movie. But for you to walk away from 2+ hours of the carnage at the irresponsibility of the federal government and think about a Mercedes-Benz? God help this woman. Like Dargis, many reviewers make no attempt to disguise their contempt for the film's likely audience. It feels real enough, writes the Austin Chronicle's Mark Salvov of the film's action. But I couldn't help thinking, is this the movie a Muslim-phobic, paranoid, and outright reactionary America really needs right now? My answer to that question is yes. Why? Because it exposes the truth. What truth, Steve? Well, the truth of the ineptitude. See, here's the problem when you get down to the level in Benghazi on our side of the fence. We'll talk about the Islamic side later. But on our side of the fence, here's what it exposed to me. You've got this massive federal bureaucracy and people at the top who are essentially using the men and women of our military as pawns, as chips in a massive game where people die. And so when you're in Washington, D.C., and you get some flash traffic about something going wrong in Libya, which is a train wreck anyway, and you've got one U.S. ambassador, we haven't lost one in 33 years, by the way, until September 11th and 12th of 2012, and you got one ambassador, he's got like two people with him, their own quote-unquote security, which is basically nothing, and then you have, they're in the ambassador complex, which is all ritzy because our government always takes good care of themselves. And then you go over to the CIA complex, which is about 3/4 of a mile away as the crow flies, And you've got CIA people there doing important work, gathering intelligence. And then you got these private contractors there, plus the members of the CIA who are operational militarily. And they're right there in the muck. And this stuff starts happening. And you're running it up the flagpole to people looking via a drone 3,000 miles away. And then you get into the non-military people, which is the real problem, and they're so scared of political correctness and how it's going to play in the media. And at this time when Obama was facing Mitt Romney in the elections, they're so scared. They're just so politically driven that all honor and all responsibility and all love for your fellow man just evaporates. It evaporates in this fleshly, evil, self-centered, just absolute lust for political power. And once you have it, the frantic efforts to keep it. And so they second guess and they politicize and they posture while people are being shot at, the ambassadors being burned to death, essentially, and some brave men and women on the ground who are cut off by their own government are trying to figure it out on their own. It was just disgusting and enraging. A couple more things from the reviewers and the guy that wrote this article. A great way to finish that. A couple other things. I might play some clips from three of the men that were there and were willing to die to help others. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? I think I've heard that story before. We'll keep going because I have to. Steve Noble, it's Call to Action Radio. We'll be right back. God willing, after this short break. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. C2AToday.com is the website. C2A as in called to action, the number two, C2AToday.com. You can jump over to Facebook and to Twitter, all that good stuff there. Today, kind of giving you my review and a little bit more than that, a little bit more than you paid for on that one, talking about 13 Hours, the movie about the Benghazi debacle, attack, nightmare, train wreck, travesty of American federal government and bureaucracy ineffectiveness, which cost four people their lives and almost cost 40 people their lives. It's really a miracle that they didn't get completely overrun and killed, but mostly it's because of these six, eight, nine soldiers, mostly six that were there with the private contracting firm who took it upon themselves. They couldn't get clearance from the local CIA guy, and obviously he wasn't getting clearance from somebody else, and everything goes up the hill there, right? And who does the buck stop with when it comes to Benghazi? Number one, it stops with the President of the United States, who is over the executive branch. The executive branch is over all these things, all these foreign affairs. That's all the executive branch. Every foreign affair issue falls under the executive branch, whether it's military or not. That is led by a man named the President of the United States, in this case, Barack Obama. So ultimately, the buck stops with him. But when it comes to ambassadors in our embassies on foreign soil, that's the State Department. And the State Department is run by somebody called the Secretary of State. In this case, that was Hillary Clinton. And so ultimately, the blood is on their hands, ultimately. And I never once, in paying attention, and I should have paid attention a lot more than I did, never once did I see a really broken Hillary Clinton. I don't know that she even has that capability anymore. I suppose if it were somebody really close to her. But in this case, when after decades of the Clintons being the Clintons, it's like they appear to be just like a shell of a human being at this point. But I was reading from this article about different reviewers and why the media isn't doing you any favor by bringing 13 Hours up, which is why I'm bringing it up. So I'm imploring you, I'm challenging you, I'm exhorting you, go see this before it leaves the movie theaters, because it's not doing well enough and it's probably only going to be in there for another 2 or 3 weeks. And then you'll have to wait 4 months to see it on a DVD or Blu-ray at home or at Redbox or whatever. But I think you need to see it in the movie theater, because you need to be assaulted by the big screen. You need to be assaulted by the truth of this on the big screen to have your heart softened for our men and women in the military and to have your rage grow for the ineptitude of our federal government, because elections have consequences. And if you're one of my fellow Christians that doesn't bother to register to vote and then to vote, you're part of the problem. And I'm not saying you individually can change everything. You can't, but you are responsible for what you can do. And to not take a stand is a stand. So here's at the end of this article about what the media is not doing anybody any favors with trying to bring up attention to the movie 13 Hours, which I saw a couple hours ago. One reviewer had a different take altogether. That was Pat Smith. In fact, she walked out of the movie. She could not bear to watch the reenactment of her son Sean Smith's death. Pat Smith has been trying to have a meaningful conversation about the reasons why her son had to die for more than 3 years. She has not gotten it. Smith has claimed that Hillary Clinton told her an anti-Muslim video was responsible. Hillary has denied it. That is just plain old bull, Smith told Megyn Kelly recently on Fox. I know what she said, and not only did she say it, but Obama said the same thing to me, and Panetta, and Biden, and Susan Rice. I went up to all of them begging them to tell me what happened, and they all said it was the video. Every one of them. That's a Pat Smith, the mother of Sean Smith, who died in Benghazi. That's what she said. The media do not want their readers to know what Smith knows for one very real reason. If they did, and if they saw 13 hours, and if they had any conscience, they would never bring themselves to vote for Hillary Clinton. On this issue alone. But you pile on top of this issue the fact that for the first time in 100 years, Planned Parenthood has endorsed a presidential candidate officially, and it's Hillary Clinton. They gave her the Margaret Sanger Award. Margaret Sanger wanted to eliminate the black race as well as anybody else who was physically or mentally handicapped. And Hillary Clinton exalts Margaret Sanger plus Benghazi. And 40% of our fellow Americans are seriously going to vote for her. It's just, God help us. This is what judgment looks like, by the way, in the American context, I believe. God just says, have it your way. Do it your way. And unfortunately for us as Christians, we're all caught up in that. Because this is the country that we are in. And he didn't leave us here for no good reason. Number one, for the gospel. Number two, for a witness for his truth and his word. And justice is a big deal to the God of the universe. This is from the National Review. This came out last month, December 15th, by Michael Barone. On September 14th, 2012, 3 days after the murder of Ambassador Christopher Stevens, Sean Smith, Glenn Doherty, and Tyrone Woods in Benghazi, Libya, Hillary Clinton appeared at Andrews Air Force Base, where she spoke with family members of those slain. By the way, the private security military guys, previous military guys, the private security guys that survived, they couldn't even get out of the country on an American aircraft. It was a Libyan or a Syrian aircraft, somebody like that, somebody in the Middle East that flew them out of there. We couldn't even pick up our own people. And some of the other folks, they flew out with some oil baron, flew his Gulfstream in there. Where was our government? Goodness gracious. Shortly afterward, Tyrone Woods' father reported that she told him, Hillary, we're going to have the filmmaker arrested who was responsible for the death of your son. Sean Smith's mother recently repeated this, saying she said it was because of the video. Glenn Doherty's sister said she chose in that moment to basically perpetuate what she knew was untrue. In public remarks, Clinton said, we've seen rage and violence directed at American embassies over an awful internet video that we had nothing to do with. Those words and her assurances to the family members stand in stark contradiction to what Clinton said in messages she sent over her private email system at the time. Private. On September 11, 2012, she told her daughter that, quote, officers were killed in Benghazi by an al-Qaeda-like group, unquote. On the morning of September 12, she told an Egyptian diplomat, quote, we know the attack in Libya had nothing to do with the film. It was a planned attack, not a protest, unquote. And I'll tell you what, when you see this movie, which is based on the facts, it was obvious that things were going on for days. At the end of the movie, because several people died as a result of mortars hitting, and these guys, professional military people, professional warriors who know how to kill people, are saying no, they had to have these mortar things set up, the trajectories, everything else. They had to have this set up in advance. You don't just show up because you get ticked off watching a video, grab a mortar, get it set up right, and hit smack dab in the middle of a CIA building on a private compound. And then you see this in the movie, wave after wave, organized, wave after wave, because of a video? Political correctness, political expediency, and your life. And remember, your political life, remember Obama. This was smack dab before the November election. Okay, so we're in an election season with Mitt Romney. Obama's telling the world and the country, hey, we've got this terrorism thing under control. It was terrorism that killed people in Benghazi. So if you cop to that, go, yep, then all of a sudden your words don't mean much, do they? Blaming the Benghazi murders on spontaneous protests of an anti-Muslim video was apparently part of an Obama administration strategy. On September 15th, Susan Rice, remember this, then ambassador to the United Nations after a White House briefing, went on five Sunday interview programs and blamed the attacks on the video. There was an obvious political motive for blaming the video. Early September polling showed the race between Obama and Mitt Romney tied. Obama was claiming success against terrorists, frequently citing the death of Osama bin Laden as evidence that the threat was reduced. The Benghazi attack, the first murder of an American ambassador in 33 years, obviously cast doubt on those claims. It validated criticism of the administration's leading from behind in Libya policy. Yet now Clinton says the victim's family members are mistaken and that she didn't mention the video to them at all. On ABC News this week, last Sunday, George Stephanopoulos, this is in December, a former Clinton White House aide, asked the candidate, "Did you tell them it was about the film?" "No," Clinton said. She went on to say she understood. This is so condescending. The continuing grief at the loss that parents experienced, thus suggesting that they are unreliable witnesses. She cited her testimony before the Benghazi committee 3 years later as if it was relevant. She talked about a fast-moving series of events in the fog of war. To believe that Clinton's no is not a lie, you have to believe that multiple individuals each misrepresented what the U.S. Secretary of State had said to them, or that members of these three different families struck by tragedy got together and conspired to invent and spread an identical story that would someday embarrass her, or that this is somehow the result of a vast right-wing conspiracy. Journalists, if they are not more interested in determining the truth and in making sure Clinton is elected president, should ask her if she believes any of those things. Man. I don't know that my apology as an American citizen underneath the authority and control of the federal government, that my apology to the families of the people that died, that gave their lives, as well as the people that were there, the CIA employees that were there and went through all this, and then the valiant warriors. I don't know that my apology makes a hill of beans. Like, it doesn't matter at all, but I feel like apologizing, and so I do. I am so sorry for what our federal government did and did not do for you. We'll pick it up there with some more thoughts. 13 Hours is the movie. You have to see it. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Thank you for your time today, and thanks for indulging me as I'm basically just ranting and reacting to the movie 13 Hours about the Benghazi debacle back on September 11th and into September 12th, 2012. And once again, let me apologize that I did not do a better job of covering this over the last 3.5 years. But I'm talking about it now, and especially with the election that we're facing, the fact that Hillary Clinton most likely is going to be the Democrat nominee for the president of the United States, and that 40% of our fellow citizens at least will go vote for her without even having any second thoughts whatsoever, is just mind-boggling to me. It's amazing how ignorant most of the American populace is when it comes to these kinds of issues and when it comes to voting. And we've talked about before, heck, I mean, 50% of the people that call themselves Christians aren't even registered to vote. And the numbers that turn out are horrible. And so the majority of people who claim to be Christians don't bother to get engaged in that process. And that's why you lose elections. And when you lose elections, there's consequences. And in this case, the consequences are massive and cost people their lives. whether we're talking about Obama at the top of the heap, certainly Hillary Clinton much closer to all of it. And you send an embassy. Libya's absolutely coming apart at the seams, right? Gaddafi's dead. The place is coming apart at the seams. The rise of ISIS begins at this point. It's such a colossal mess. And we're going to send a U.S. ambassador into Libya to be there on September 11th, the 11th anniversary of 9/11. And he's got like five guys to protect him. It's a joke. And that's why when you listen to our president and a bunch of other of our elected officials refuse to talk about extremist Islamic terrorism as if it's just an aberration. No, it isn't. No, it is not. That's why the Syrian refugee crisis is important. That's why what's happening in Germany with all the sexual assaults is important. That's why all these issues are important when it comes to Islam, because... And this was the problem. These soldiers, the private security guys, ex-U.S. Special Forces guys, say it throughout the movie. You can't tell who's good and who isn't. They got people coming up to them on the street. And they don't know whether they should shoot them or slap them on the back. It's unbelievably difficult. And you have to know some 10, 15, 20% of people that follow Muhammad worldwide will kill you. And how do you tell them apart? You can't. That sounds so phobic, doesn't it? Like racist. I mean, if you play it a certain way, it sounds horrible. I get that. I understand that. It's not easy to sit around and talk about it in such blunt terms, but that's the reality. And so you watch this movie and it's just heartbreaking. I just want to hear a little bit. They had like 45 minutes. They did a thing. They've done several things. Sean Hannity, he bugs me. So this is from Brent Baer. Brent Baer had these three private security guys. I want you to listen to part of this. He did 45 minutes with them talking about Benghazi.
Was it well protected?
Who wants to take that one?
No, it looked nice. It was a beautiful compound. I mean, it had
the embassy,
orchards,
where the ambassador
had a really nice house, had a swimming pool. They had their own security.
They
were their own security.
They were their own, yeah.
Diplomatic security.
Diplomatic security. They didn't have it.
So you're going to send a U.S. ambassador into this place that looks like Club Med or something on a Carnival Cruise Line commercial with these lame-o stupid fence and wall around it, but it had a nice pool and had nice digs. I mean, it's ridiculous. Really? Golly.
They didn't have like an American force, like a Marine detachment. They did it themselves.
So what did it themselves. What'd you tell them?
Me and my bluntness. I said, you know, if you guys get attacked, you guys are going to die. You know that, right? And I remember I said, if you ever need us, you just call us. We'll come get you.
What's your reaction?
See, now that, and then you watch that play out in the movie. And that's not the first time that's played. That's been playing out for a couple hundred years. U.S. military men and women. You get in trouble, you need help, we'll come get you. God bless every one of them.
When you hear ambassadors coming to Benghazi on September 10th, September 11th of all days.
And you were like thinking, you know, there's only five guys to protect him, and that's a huge compound.
There was nothing that looked any different than any other
talking
day.
Talking about 9/11.
And there was no
day,
whisper
September
that
11th.
This video was a major problem in Benghazi
did,
or something?
Didn't know about video until I got to Germany. No idea about any video, no.
How do you hear that something's wrong?
Our team leader, he actually came up for us. I looked at my watch, and it was...
All three of the guys that are talking to Brett at this point are all ex-military. They were working for the private security firm, and they were all there on the ground.
9:32 when I got the call, first got the call on the radio that said, hey, you know, we need all GRS.
GRS? What
yes.
is that? GRS operators.
Global response staff.
Global response staff. I remember I looked at DB and said, hey, something's going on. We're going to do something tonight. I meet the TL about halfway, about right there, and I said, hey, man, what's happening? And he goes, the Consulate Center attack. You can start hearing the fire, the actual concentration of fire and some explosions.
Now, the next thing is the guy that wrote the book, 13.
It was a relatively quiet night in Benghazi. And by 9 o'clock, the seven Americans are settling down for the night. You've got the ambassador in his room writing in his diary. You've got Sean Smith, the communications expert, online talking with him. You've got five diplomatic security agents. Somewhere around 30 or 40 minutes later, men stream onto the compound, bearing AK-47s, chanting in Arabic, shooting off their guns. Almost instantly, they've overrun the compound. The 17 February militiamen who were supposed to be guarding the compound, they just flee.
Now, you're ready to go.
5 minutes, we're ready. Thumbs up, we're ready to go. I went up to the TL, and I said, hey, we're ready to go. Bob looks right through me and looks at the team leader and goes, you guys need to wait. He's on the phone talking to someone.
Bob is the head CIA guy, the station chief, right ahead of all the CIA operations there at the compound. So they lost the ambassador's compound. Now they're back at the CIA compound. This is actually when they're trying to go find the ambassador and rescue him in the first place, and they can't get a go-ahead.
But I assumed that they were trying to coordinate us to link up with 17 February.
Which is the local militia.
I had probably been 15 minutes, I think, and I got out of the car, and Bob and the team lead were standing on the front porch. And I just said, hey, you know, we need to get over there. We're losing the initiative, you know. And Bob just looked straight at me, and you need to wait.
We're starting to get calls from the State Department guys saying, hey, we're taking fire. We need you guys here. We need help.
We were talking about it in the cars.
What the hell's going on? Why are we waiting?
From beginning to when you're ready to go, thumbs up, you're ready to go out, to the time when you actually pull out, what's that time frame?
It's close to 25 minutes. I went up to Bob. I said, hey, we need to go. And got the wait again. And I got in my car, told the TL, get in the back seat, and looked at Ron. He gave me a thumbs up. I gave him a thumbs up, and we left.
And you guys did that pretty much on your own.
Yes, we did. We were never given the okay to go. We got the final straw for us to go, at least that's my opinion, and how I felt, was where one of the DS agents said, hey, they're starting to light the buildings on fire. You guys need to get here.
Yeah, and see, they can't get an answer from the government, and the whole thing happens. 13 hours of just a total nightmare. They can't get, there's a Predator drone flying around, but they're not using that to take anybody out. They're just watching, so it's the people on the ground there, the CIA, are watching these people approaching wave after wave that takes place over 13 hours. They can't get an AC-130 gunship there. They can't get F-16s just to buzz the place and let everybody know, hey, America's on standby here. We're ready to rock and roll. They can't get anything. Nothing. And you've got about 40 Americans, and mostly CIA, plus the private security people, all American citizens, who take matters into their own hands and fight off wave after wave of Islamic militant psycho jihadists who hate America. Video. Oh, this is ingrained in who they are. And so when I'm watching this movie, and this happened with American Sniper, over and over again, I'm like, I'm just going to be really blunt with you, okay? I'm like, what the hell are we doing there? Because you start to see the cost in human lives. And that's such a difficult subject. But if we're going to start playing, this is a crusade ethic. I'm sitting here at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, where I've essentially finished my master's degree in Christian ethics. I got a big paper to write. But one of the classes we take is on war and peace and just war. And when you can go to war according to God's word and when you cannot. And when you're trying to spread your ideology around the world, that's called a crusade, which is what we've been doing in the Middle East, trying to spread freedom and democracy around the world. Our founding fathers knew and designed a form of government that was made for the Judeo-Christian self-governing ethic. And without it, without religion and morality, coming out of the Judeo-Christian mindset and the word of God itself, this form of government will not work. It will not work because you have people whose depravity is absolutely unfettered and let loose. And the only thing that can control that is a brutal dictator. And so we think we can spread peace and democracy to the Middle East. We're stupid. And our stupidity costs people their lives. And it's heartbreaking to be able to have to stand on the sidelines and watch people tear themselves apart, tear each other apart. But this is a Middle Eastern problem. But we're so in bed financially with oil, with diplomatic relations, and you got all these people making all these decisions at the top of the heap who'd never bleed. They're never shot at. And even John Kerry, who served during Vietnam, it seemed to me like he turned it back on all of that. And he's just another politician. God help us. So I'm gonna as much of a loving challenge as I can. If you're considering voting for Hillary Clinton, she's directly responsible on top of the State Department. It was her ambassador that was there. You go see 13 hours. I dare you to. You go see it. And you ask yourself, the person on the top of that whole heap wants to be your president. And if you just say you care about the country, go see 13 hours. If you have somebody in the military that you know, maybe it's you, Or if you don't have many feelings for the military, go see 13 Hours. You need to see it, please. It's so important. This is Steve Noble. Call to Action Radio, God willing. I'll talk to you again real soon.